A screen dropped from the ceiling as the lights faded. Footage from a video camera zoomed across a parking lot, past the cab, and onto the figure of Aaron Lake in his baggy sweats as he disappeared around a corner inside Mailbox America. Seconds later, he reappeared, flipping through letters and papers in his right hand. He stopped briefly at the door and then dumped everything in a tall wastebasket. "What the hell's he looking for?" Teddy mumbled to himself. Lake left the building and quickly ducked inside the cab. The video stopped. The lights became brighter. DeVille resumed his narrative. "We're confident we found the right papers in the trash can. We were there within seconds, and no one else entered the premises while we waited. The time was 12:58. An hour later, we entered again and keyed the lock to box 455, so we'll have access any time we need it."
"Check it every day," Teddy said. "Inventory every piece of mail. Leave the junk, but when something arrives, I want to know it."
"You got it." Mr. Lake re-entered the basement window at 1:22 and stayed at home for the rest of the night. He's there now.
"That's all," Teddy said, and DeVille left the room.
A minute passed as Teddy stirred his coffee.
"How many addresses does he have?"
York knew the question was coming. He glanced at some notes. "He gets most of his personal mail at his home in Georgetown. He has at least two addresses on Capitol Hill, one at his office, the other at the Armed Services Committee. He has three offices back home in Arizona. That's six that we know about."
"Why would he need a seventh?"
"I don't know the reason, but it can't be good. A man who has nothing to hide does not use an alias or a secret address."
"When did he rent the box?"
"We're still working on that."
"Maybe he rented the box after he decided to enter the race. He's got the CIA doing his thinking for him, so maybe he figures we're watching everything, too. And he figures he might need a little privacy, thus the box. Maybe it's a girlfriend we missed somehow. Maybe he likes dirty magazines or videos, something that is shipped through the mail."
After a long pause, York said, "Could be. What if the box was rented months ago, long before he entered the race?"
"Then he's not hiding from us. He's hiding from the world, and his secret is truly dreadful."
They silently contemplated the dreadfulness of Lake's secret, neither wanting to venture a guess. They decided to step up surveillance even more and to check the mailbox twice a day. Lake would be leaving town in a matter of hours, off to do battle in other primaries, and they would have the box to themselves. Unless someone else was also checking it for him. Aaron Lake was the man of the hour in Washington. From his office on Capitol Hill, he graciously granted live interviews to the early morning news programs. He received senators and other members of Congress, friends and former enemies alike, all bearing tidings of great joy and congratulations. He had lunch with his campaign staff and followed it with long meetings on strategy. After a quick dinner with Elaine Tyner, who brought wonderful news of tons of new cash over at DPAC, he left the city and flew to Syracuse to make plans for the New York primary. A large crowd welcomed him. He was, after all, now the front runner.